Welcome to the Power of Attorney Project, which is part of our Conversations That Matter podcast. My name is Mary Bart, Chair of Caregiving Matters. This podcast is intended to provide general information only and is not intended to be a substitute for seeking personalized legal, financial, or other advice. This podcast raises issues that our audience can further explore on their own in their own local communities with their own local experts. This project will help to be a call to action for families to solve their issues, find solutions to their problems, and have greater peace of mind.
And today's topic is called Disability Tax Credit. And our guest expert is Maureen Burleson, and she is a certified professional bookkeeper, and she is a certified QuickBooks Online Pro Advisor, and she is with Montana Group. Welcome, Maureen.
Thank you, Mary. I really appreciate you inviting me to participate in this very valuable series of podcasts you've developed. I guess I'll start by giving some background information about myself and my company. As you mentioned, my company is called the Montana Group. We're located in York Region, and we supply numerous accounting and tax services to business and individuals. I've been in the business for 30 years now. One of the services that we offer is preparing personal tax returns, which I've been doing for over 25 years now. We prepare approximately 300 tax returns each tax season, and of those returns, I have numerous clients that are in receipt of the Disability Tax Credit, or the DTC, as we like to call it. There are also numerous individuals that contact me during the year requesting guidance on applying for the DTC, with questions such as how do they know if they're eligible, what difference will it make if they are eligible, what can they do if their application is rejected, you know, questions like that. And a lot more, too, that I hope I can address during our time together. So I'm hoping to ensure those that are eligible or know someone that might be eligible, I want to give them the knowledge and the tools to apply for the credit and receive the positive response from the CRA that they so rightly deserve. So, Mary, let's get started. What's your first question?
All right. Well, my first question is, and basically all of my questions will be in the first person, but just for our audience to know that it really could apply, this whole topic could really apply to loved ones and families. And as our families have declining health, this topic becomes more important. So as I ask the questions, perhaps the audience might be thinking of a sibling, a spouse, or a parent that could use these disability tax credits. So my first question is, what exactly is the disability tax credit, and how do I know if I'm eligible to receive it?
Okay. The disability tax credit, or as I said before, the DTC, is a non-refundable tax credit used to reduce income tax payable on your income tax and benefit return. An example would be if you're preparing your 2014 return, let's say over the next couple of months, and you have been approved for the DTC, and you owe tax, the amount of tax owing could be reduced by $1,164.90 if you were going back to 2013 tax return and you owed tax, you could possibly receive a refund of $1,154.55. So there is some great tax savings or benefit to that. But before we try and get some hard-earned money back, we should, I guess, look at the process that's involved. The application form is called a Disability Tax Credit Certificate. It's also known as a T-2201 form. If you Google T-2201, And the form is on the CRA website, so that's Canada Revenue Agency website, and we'll be one of the first listed. Make sure you go to the CRA website. There are some other organizations that sometimes appear, depending on the exact wording that you use. There are some organizations that appear that have paid for ads. These are private companies, and I can speak more to that situation maybe later on, but go to the CRA website, and they're making it as easy as possible for people to actually get this information. For accessing the information, they have it in, there's a PDF, there's a fillable PDF, which means you can save it as you're working on it. Plus, it also is available in e-text, braille, and large print. Once you pull it up, don't be overwhelmed by the number of pages. There's actually 12 pages to it. The first two pages are for information purposes only, for the person who's looking at applying for this credit. And as I said, whether it's on behalf of the individual who's looking at it or someone, let's say a spouse, a partner, a parent, a child is looking at applying for it on behalf of their relative or friend. So there's that. The third page is a self-assessment. This will help determine if the person is eligible for the disability tax credit. So it's one page, it's very straightforward, and one of the things is if you answer yes to the first question, which is mandatory, and the first question being, has your impairment in physical or mental functions lasted or is expected to last for a continuous period of at least 12 months? If you answer yes to that, then you go on to the following questions, and there's only five questions in total. So if you answer yes to questions two through five, then you would be there's a possibility that you could be eligible for the disability tax credit, or you could be able to transfer it to a supporting person. So the other questions, an overview of the type of questions. Number two, are you blind? Number three, are you receiving life-sustaining therapy? Number four, are you markedly restricted? So your impairment causes markedly restrictions with regards to speaking, hearing, walking, feeding, dressing, mental function, and elimination, which is the bowel or bladder functions. And then the last question is, do you meet all of the following conditions? Because of the impairment, you are significantly restricted. And then from that point, if you have, as I said previously, if you've answered question one, then go to questions two through five. Answer any one of those as a yes, then I would take the rest of the form, which is part B, and there's numerous pages. I would suggest taking that to the qualified practitioner. They need to complete section B, who can certify the effect of the impairment that you have. So some examples of qualified practitioners are optometrists, audiologists, medical doctors, physiotherapists, occupational therapists. So that once that is completed by the qualified practitioner, you want to you will get that back. They do not submit it for you. It's your responsibility. If you're applying for the credit or on behalf of someone for the credit, it's your responsibility to submit it to the CRA, Canada Revenue Agency. And there's one section that you need to complete. It's actually called Section A. It is one page, very short questionnaire. It's about the person with the disability, and it also has a section about the person claiming the amount, the person claiming the disability credit. So this could be someone, let's say someone has a mother who is disabled, and they really don't have enough income, but as a son or a daughter, perhaps mother is living with you, or the mother is living on her own, but you are the supporting person, and that's the key, is the supporting person. It may be eligible to be transferred to the supporting person, the son or the daughter of the mother. Some other examples of transferring that disability tax credit could be to a spouse, a common law partner, a parent, a child, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, nephew, or niece. But the key to making the claim to be eligible to receive that transfer is that they have to be dependent on the taxpayer for support. And once that form is completed, Part A is sent along with Part B, then it goes to the CRA and you wait for them to make a ruling on it, basically. So as I say to everyone, make at least one copy of everything you send to the CRA because it can go missing. The waiting period can be anywhere from 6 weeks to 6 months to get a response from the CRA. I always suggest that after 2 months, if you haven't heard anything, that you contact them and see what the status of the application is. Sometimes they'll say it's on someone's desk. Sometimes they will say it is being followed up with the practitioner. They may want more information, and you just have no control over that. So you can follow up by calling the CRA, or if you have an online account with Revenue Canada, called My Account, you can check the status of your application on there online in real time. You won't see a copy of it. You'll just see what status it may be, if it's in review, it's pending, or it's being mailed out. All responses from the CRA, whether you've been approved or not, or haven't been approved, will come by letter. Privacy issues, so they will not say anything to you over the phone, and it's not something that, they're not sending something like this in an email. So that's how it's handled at that point. So I think, did I answer everything there, Mary? Did I cover everything?
Well, that was great, Maureen, but I kind of have a related question to that.
Okay.
Because people have to get a practitioner to sign this form, presumably.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That means that they have to mail it in. They can't send it in via their internet or email. So they physically have to take it to the post office with the signature of the doctor or whomever, right?
That is correct. And they have to send the original copies, whatever the doctor completed, even though I've suggested that you make a photocopy of it. You have to send the original signed certificate to the CRA, and you can depending on where you live in. Since it's a CRA, I should just mention this is Canada wide. It's not just in Ontario where I'm located. It is Canada wide, and you can, as I said, you can mail it. But you can, if you've got a local office that accepts these forms, then you could also have it dropped off. And I would certainly ask for a receipt if it was dropped off.
Well, that's great, because this is a federal program, and our project is reaching Canadians wherever they live. And so, your comments go well past the borders of Ontario. Your comments will be equally important to somebody in British Columbia as Newfoundland. So thank mm-hmm. you for that. My next question is then, if I'm approved for the disability tax credit, what do I do next?
If you are approved, which is wonderful, what you can do is look closely. When you receive that letter, look closely to see when the CRA has made that credit available to you. If you have, if you've had a prolonged illness or impairment, and you're just getting around, or didn't realize until recently that you may be eligible for the disability tax credit, you can actually go back 10 years and ask for an adjustment to your tax returns. And if you didn't have a tax liability, but you have someone you relied on who was a supporting person, you could request that credit be transferred to them. One of the things is, as I said, you can go back 10 years on this, and if it's the first year that you're you've been accepted. So let's say 2014, they've accepted that 2014, you are eligible for the disability tax credit. One of the things you will have to do, we all try and get away from paper, but you will have to paper file your personal tax return. Most instances, and most of us, e-file our returns for the ease. It's great, especially if we're getting money back. The money comes back within about 10 days. But for the initial filing of your personal tax return, if it's the first year, you have to paper file your return. And when you paper file your return, it can take approximately 6 weeks to have that return filed. Then, for the next year, as long as you're eligible for that disability tax credit certificate, then you can go back to, if you have done, your original e-filing. The government's processed 1 year of a disability tax credit against your social insurance number. So going forward, your tax preparer can e-file the return, and the monies that hopefully you're expecting back, you should receive them in less than 10 days. So that's, I think, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that may fall under what to do next. But no. Again, if you send in T1 adjustments, which are forms easily available on the internet also, so just type in T1 adjustment, CRA website will come up. It is one page. You're putting in your social insurance number, your name, your address. The year that you want this tax credit to apply to, it could be 2010, 11, 12, 13, you have to do one form for each year. And you state on it that I'm now eligible for the disability tax credit. Please make the adjustment to my return. You can also call them. If you've received the letter, you can call them and just say, you know what, I'm not in a position to try and complete this form. Can I request it verbally through you? And in some instances, they will say yes, and they'll start the process. Again, with the CRA, I always suggest you follow up within a certain period of time to see what the status is. So if you have mailed in your T1 adjustments, haven't heard anything in about 6 weeks, I would call, find out what the status is. If you are talking to someone on the phone at the CRA office, and they said that they will process the application for you, as long as they have all the information required, I would ask them, can you tell me how long you expect this to be? And they will give you a date. They'll push it off because they don't want people calling on a regular basis, but they will give you a date on that. And if that date comes and goes and you haven't heard anything, I would suggest that you call them. Also, one of the things when dealing with the CRA, they are obligated to give you a number, a contact number, not a phone number, but it's more like an employee number. That way, if there's any issues or any problems and you need to contact someone at the CRA office, you can say, I was speaking to, and they'll give you their first name, with the number, and it's about a 7 or 8 digit number, and you can say, can we reference that? So that's another, and they say it very quickly, so make sure they slow down and give you the exact number, because if this is a very long process, if you're trying to get a lot of information to them, and it can be stressful dealing with the government on, even on the best of occasions, you want to make sure that they speak to you slowly, you understand exactly what they're saying, you have a plan in place that they're going to do what they say they're going to do, and that you have the resources to follow up to see that it has been done. So there's sometimes a lot of money that can come back, especially if it's been 10 years. And some people, especially at a certain age, and I'm starting to feel it myself, it's one of those things, well, you know what, I've been this way for so long that I don't think, you know, it's just part of living, it's part of the aging process, whatever the case may be. And I find that the older customers of mine, the ones that now know that they can apply for the disability tax credit, it does go back 10 years, but they thought, well, this is just part of life. This is my age, whatever the case may be. But when the credits are out there, when resources are out there, I think it's really important for caregivers, support workers, the individuals themselves to get the credits they need to have a better quality of life. And I think that's where I'm going with this, to make sure, and that, probably not just going with this, but to make sure more people are aware of this. There's a certain quality of life that we all like, but those that have had prolonged impairments are really the ones that should benefit from this, and make the years that we all have remaining better if we can, and if the money and the funds are available, and that we deserve them, then we should have them. So that's my take on the disability tax credit and what to do if I'm approved and why.
Well, thank you for that. And I must tell you, what you are sharing with us and our audience is just so practical and so real. Because as families care for loved ones with declining health, nobody wants to do a lot of paperwork. And so your answers are so clear and so encouraging people to go after this tax credit. And with that, I have my next question for you.
Okay.
And that is, what if I don't need the disability tax credit? Can I transfer it to my spouse or someone else?
Yes, I think I alluded or gave some details of that a bit earlier. I kind of get ahead of myself. Sometimes I get excited about this. But yes, you can transfer it to someone who needs it. And I've had people call me and say, you know what, my daughter sends me money. So I had this example last week, as a matter of fact. The lady that contacted me lives in Ontario, and her daughter lives in Quebec. And so the daughter isn't supporting her in the manner of taking her to doctor's appointments or ensuring that she's dressed, whatever the case may be. But her daughter is supporting her financially. And yes, she should make the application to the CRA to transfer that credit that she can't use to her daughter. I've had other instances where I have a customer whose daughter has some issues, but she is at university in Toronto, and they live north of the city, and they have to contact her because of her her situation. The daughter has to be contacted every morning to get her up, and we're not talking about, you know, a teenager here who just doesn't want to get up, but who has to be told to take her medication, and the support and the stress. I think this is a big thing for the caregivers or the support personnel we're talking about here. Yes, I think they're entitled. I'd like to say entitled, better watch myself there. I think they're entitled to some credit for the energy and the stress and the emotional strain that it takes, because they are supporting the people that they love, the people that they care about, to help the individuals have a certain quality of life in their day-to-day activities. And without these support people there, she probably wouldn't be getting through university on her own. It's because of the family that she is able to get through the process of going to classes and studying and keeping her on a routine and keeping her focus that is going to make her life better down the road. And it's a lot of time and effort that the family has put in. So those are just a couple of examples of how the credit can be transferred. So the credit for the young girl in university is being transferred to the parent that has the larger income, who would normally owe more tax. And as I mentioned before, it can be transferred to a child or a brother or a sister. So I said someone who's dependent on the taxpayer themselves.
Perfect. Thank you for that. My next question is, what can I do if I'm not approved for the disability tax credit?
Okay. One of the comments that the CRA will include in the letter that they send indicating whether you're approved or not approved is they will indicate why. Sometimes it could be, and this is one of the very sad things, is the doctor never got back to them with additional information, and that happens frequently. That somebody, I received an email through my blog about a lady that said, you know what, I'm supporting my brother. He's been impaired for so long, and the doctor, won't complete the form, or the doctor's been asked for more information. What do I do next? So I think there's a couple of issues here on why, or answering your question, what happens if I'm not approved? I think we have to look at what caused it to be rejected. Is it the physician? Is it because the physician doesn't believe that you're eligible or should be eligible or qualified for it? Or is it because they just don't want to do the paperwork? I know it's a terrible thing to say, but that is an issue. They don't have time to do it, or they just kind of whip something off without really paying attention on how the impact of not receiving this credit can have on a family. So I think one of the big things to do, if you're rejected because the form wasn't complete, not enough information from the doctor and so forth, I think what you have to do is, one, have an appointment, have a conversation with the doctor. And if there's no interest whatsoever in trying to help you, maybe you have to go to another doctor. And I'm not saying try and find a doctor who will sign the form. I'm not saying that. What I'm suggesting is if you've been asking a specialist for this form to be completed or to follow up, but your general practitioner is aware of everything that is going on, maybe your GP will complete the form for you. If there's a problem with mobility, let's say, and the specialist doesn't think that, you know what, it's worth his time, whatever the case may be. I don't want to, make any suggestions that are way out there. But maybe your general practitioner says, well, yeah, I can see that your mobility issues are this way, and I know from the report that the specialist has given me that you are never going to be able to, walk 50 feet without resting or on your own, then the GP can do it. So that's one of the things I would really look at is finding another general practitioner or qualified practitioner to complete the form if that is really what the issue is. The other area of the rejection, I guess is the best way of saying it, is sometimes just the wording isn't done properly. And there have been a lot of rejections lately for the application of the disability tax credit. And I don't want anyone who's listening to say, well, is it really worth it to go through if they're rejecting? Yes, it is worth it. But what's happened is there are organizations out there that may not be as ethical as we would like to think them to be, and they've pretty much muddied the waters for those that really do deserve the disability tax credit for the individual, or those supporting the individuals. So I think you can appeal it. Now that's one of the things you may want to do. It's something you can do on your own. You just supply additional information, but there's still an appeal process. So I don't suggest you just say, well, that didn't work, and get angry. I would say appeal it and just give more information as to why you think you should be eligible. And one of the big concerns is people start talking, and I'll give you an example. I can have a client who has to pay, I don't know, let's just have round numbers here, $3,000 in taxes on the tax return. And he comes in and says, well, my next door neighbor makes more than I do, and he's got this car, and he writes this off and this and that, and he doesn't pay any tax a year. So you've got to be really careful about who you listen to. You're not comparing apples to apples here. Maybe Stella doesn't make as much money as my customer does. Maybe he's in a lot of debt. Maybe he's got medical receipts that are reducing his tax liability. You really are an individual when you apply for this, so you can't look at it as, well, I have this disability, and I know so-and-so has this disability, and they applied for the disability tax credit but didn't receive it. I guess there's no point in me doing it. Or somebody did and you were refused. You can't look at somebody else's situation. I have customers who have children that have received it because the correct wording is, but attention deficit disorder. I've got clients that have severe depression. I've got clients that have serious mobility issues. And I have other, and these clients have been accepted, but I've had other clients in the past that have had exactly the same that haven't been accepted. So I think if you've been refused, I think it's very important to make that application again. So I hope the examples I've given have helped indicate that, you know what, you're an individual and you need to look at yourself as that way, and don't look at what your neighbor, your friend, your relative, or anyone else, look at their situation and think that's what yours is going to be. Good or bad, you're an individual, and CRA looks at these all individually. I think that's it.
That was wonderful. Thank you. My next question is there any cost to applying for the disability tax credit?
There's no cost if you are dealing directly with the CRA. Anytime you deal with the CRA, whether it's for an appeals or an application or information, we're already paying them, so we don't have to pay them again. So there's no fee involved in that. Where there would be a fee is if you asked for another party to complete this, that it's their business. So if someone came to me and says, you know what, I don't know the amounts for the last 5 or 6 years, it's talking about federal credits, and I only see the federal credits. They're asking me about provincial credits. I don't know what to do. So someone who prepares tax returns, accounting, there is a fee if you want someone like myself to do that. And hopefully that, we get the results that you want. But as I said, if you've already been approved for it and you're looking at us to do a T1 adjustment, then there is a fee to that. If you asked us to complete the disability tax credit itself to help you work through the process, we would do that. But you know what? I'd almost point people to my blog. I've done a lot of blogs on the disability tax credit, and I would rather see someone, if they can, do it themselves just to keep the expenses down. And you really have, it's like anything else, if we have to do it ourselves, we really have a good understanding of what we're saying, what we're doing, and what knowledge we need to know, especially if the CRA calls and says, can you clarify something for me? It's always best to know what you wrote or you said, so you can give a very straight and honest answer to explain something. So if you need an outside source to do it, then yes, there's a cost, but I think a lot of clients, customers, or their support workers can do it themselves at no cost whatsoever, and then monitor what the status of it is with the CRA.
And yep. I'll give you a personal example of cost. And I applied for the disability tax credit for both my mom and dad because they needed it. And the only cost that I had to pay was to pay the doctor to sign the piece of paper.
Right.
So there was a small cost. It was like $30 or $40 for each form. And my dad was on the program first, and then my mom was. But I do remember writing a check to the doctor for the $30 or $40. And that's just my personal situation. I'm not saying that All doctors will ask of that, but don't be surprised if somebody wants a small for their time to complete the paperwork. So not a lot of money, but I just don't want people shocked thinking that the doctor wants some money. Don't be surprised. They just might.
Yeah, you're right, Mary. That's a really good point to bring up. And some clients, depending on the relationship with the doctors, some customers have had relationships with their doctors for years and years, and practitioners don't charge anything for the letters or for the forms. And then there are the ones that do, and I agree it's not for the value of what you're receiving from the doctor if done properly. $30-$40 I think is reasonable. The other thing to remember is the cost of having that letter done for the application, for the process. You can actually use that as a medical expense when preparing your personal tax return.
Perfect. Thank you. That's a great answer.
Yeah, so there's some benefit to it.
There's always a benefit to getting a tax refund.
Yes, I like to think that there's a reason for something, and we can make something good out of this. Yeah.
Sometimes paperwork can be our friend. Not often, but sometimes.
Yeah.
And my final question for you is there anything else I should consider when thinking about the disability tax credit?
I think it's a very valuable credit that shouldn't be overlooked. And I know we've talked about individuals right now, but also if there are disabled children involved, there's even more incentive to get the disability tax credit certificate in for approval. And I think one of my big concerns, and I've heard this from a number of people who have spoken to me after the fact, is there are a number of, I'll say, providers that say they're helping people complete the disability tax credit certificate, that they will find a doctor that will sign off on it and so forth. And actually there has been quite the review of the situation with the CRA, and what has happened is these providers are actually charging, good and bad providers, but I'm talking about the bad, the negative right now, will sometimes charge 30% for the process. So what would happen is if you're going back 10 years and applying for the disability tax credit, and let's say you're getting the full amount, so it's reducing your federal and any provincial tax payable as much as possible, then they're asking somewhere around 30%. So these forms don't take a lot of time to do. They're getting back, besides a fee to do this, they're also getting back 30% of the refund. And I think people need to be very wary of this. As I said, the government is really looking into this right now, CRA that is looking into this. They're looking at putting restrictions or capping the amount that these businesses can apply. So that's why I'm always saying investigate to see what you can do on your own. Try and get the answers. There's a lot of answers on good websites, whether it's large accounting firms, smaller businesses like myself. We like to keep the public well aware of what's available to them and keeping the costs low so that they can have the tools to do as much as possible on their own, or guide someone who's going to help them to look at these tools and say, can you help me do this? This is what I think we need to do. So those are my kind of final words on what to be aware of and know what you can do for yourself to get these credits, as I said earlier, that are so valuable to, in some instances, to quality of life for some people. So that's it.
Well, thank you so much, Marina. I tell you, what you have shared with us today is so interesting and so important. And most people, I believe, that I talk to, most families don't even know that this whole thing around disability tax credit exists. and your comments are real and they're practical. You've talked about the forums, what to do, insights on getting help from experts like you. And so thank you for sharing this. And this is one topic that everybody in our country can listen to and learn and benefit from. So could you please share your contact information with us, please?
Okay, well, thank you, Mary. And I must say it's been a real pleasure discussing this topic with you. And hopefully there are a number of individuals out there that will try and take benefit from this. So my contact information, especially if you'd like to read my blogs and my responses to people that have sent me questions and my response is www.montanagroup.ca. That's MONTANAGROUP.ca. And there is a search capability on my website. So if you go into the search and you type in disability tax credit rates, that it will pull up a blog that I've done, I think I did it a few years ago, actually 2 or 3 years ago in October. Even though I did it 2 or 3 years ago, I still update it. So if you want to know what the amounts are that you could be eligible for when applying for retroactively for 10 years for the disability tax credit, there is a listing there that gives them all from 2004 to 2014, the amounts that you need when applying for retroactive disability tax credit. That's it.
Well, thank you so much. And now to wrap up this podcast, Chris Cata, one of our board directors, and I have a few closing comments.
Mary, who are our initial project supporters?
We wish to acknowledge that this project is funded in part by the Government of Canada's New Horizons for Seniors program. Our other initial supporters include Care Connect, the Care Guide, the Healing Cycle Foundation, and Scotia Trust. Caregiving Matters is an internet-based registered Canadian charity dedicated to educating and supporting family caregivers. 90% of our work is done online and by leveraging technologies. 10% is done by producing local educational events. We leverage technologies in everything that we do, ensuring greater reach and sustainability. I trust that we have given you some of the highlights of our exciting new initiative. If you are interested in speaking with me about the project, please let me know. We look forward to your questions and your ideas.
Mary, if listeners have questions, what's the best way for them to contact us?
Well, they can contact me, Mary Bart, Chair of Caregiving Matters. My email is mary@caregivingmatters.ca. Our telephone number is 905-939-2931, and our website is www.caregivingmatters.ca.